Hi, and welcome to Aging in Place for every stage in life. What if you could visit or have a home that would accommodate anyone at any age, any physical ability, at any time? How cool would that be? That's what we're doing here at Aging in Place. Why me? Because I'm a doctor of psychology, and I specialize in physical spaces and health and wellness. Also, I love designing with intent at any age. Why now? Because we, the baby boomers, want to age in place gracefully, and we want our families around us as much as we can. And why you, the audience? Because we want you to experience what it's like to have a home that's safe, aesthetically pleasing, and that you can live in at any age, with any ability, at any time. I'd like to introduce you now to Aging in Place podcast for every stage in life. Hi, and welcome to the Aging in Place podcast for any stage in life. I'm Dr. Debbie Lyons. I am here with my friend Holly. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
All right. You have to share with everybody what you do because you hold as many titles as I do.
Sure. A lot of different titles. So title number one would be mom, right?
Yes.
Mom of four kids.
So. An excellent. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. So have a girl. I have three boys and one still at home. So that's kind of the primary job.
And rumor has it that your children are quite handsome, very bright, and quite athletic.
They are. Yes.
I mean, honestly, that's what I've heard.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I'll take a little bit of credit for that, right?
Absolutely.
Dad gets a little credit for that too.
Absolutely.
So yeah, they're very active and energetic and, you know, great kids. So it's fun.
And so what do you do professionally then?
Professionally, I'm a registered dietitian, so registered and licensed dietitian, and also health promotions coordinator for Hilton Head Regional Healthcare.
So, what does that really mean, health promotions coordinator?
Sure. So anything to promote health and wellness. So, you know, years ago, we used to say wellness. We'd focus so much on wellness and then transition to more well-being and health promotion. So
right.
Anything to promote a healthy lifestyle. So it could be smoking cessation, weight management, healthy eating, exercise recommendation. So it encompasses everything.
I have a great story. I think when I first met Holly and we were doing wellness, we were running up and down steps a lot at the hospital. Too.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Definitely.
Mean, that was one of the kind of get started.
Sure. Promoting it in the workplace,
absolutely,
which was really important too. And we still use a lot of those concepts. So, you know, tobacco free, smoke free, and lots of nutrition and take the stairs, eat healthy at work, have things that are lower price that are healthy. So we still try to do that. That's a really key part.
It's funny because Holly and I work together a lot and we work a lot with physicians. And the interesting part is when it comes right down to it, the consistent message I get from every physician that I have ever interviewed, and I think it is really your mantra too, is lifestyle is the key.
Oh,
to
definitely.
A lot of health and wellness.
Of course. So you think of more the long-term fix instead of the short-term. We're not promoting diets. It's more lifestyle and just taking care of yourself. And you have to be able to take care of yourself to take care of others. So we're trying to get people to focus on their own personal health and wellness, mm-hmm, and be able to take care of others.
I've wanted to ask this question about a licensed dietitian. Share with me a little bit about what the process is to become a licensed dietitian, because I hear a lot of people who share with me that they have nutritional programs,
sure,
that they're this or that. And I wondered what a licensed dietitian really does.
Absolutely. So registered and licensed dietitian, we took over licensure a few years ago, mm-hmm, and also use the term dietitian as well as nutritionist.
Okay.
So,
interesting.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. Because people were out there calling themselves nutritionists, but not necessarily having that clinical background, medical background.
Okay.
So, with a registered dietitian, nutritionist, you know that person is going to have at least a 5-year degree and takes exams, national exams, to make sure they're registered and licensed and competent to deal with different disease states and different age-specific criteria. It's very much so linked to medical profession, and you can guarantee that person is following ethics guidelines and they're able to practice, whether it's tube feedings for elderly or TPN in a hospital or weight management guidelines, that person is credentialed to do that.
That was exactly what I was going to ask you. I know I do a lot of work with eating disorders, and as, mm-hmm, part of my team, there is always a medical doctor, a licensed registered dietitian, as well as the psychologist or therapeutic person to do that too. So I guess the reason I bring that up is what I hear you say is you're basically very incremental in many practices, in many ways through the hospital.
Of course. So we train in different areas. We train in oncology. We train in GI specialty. It could be weight management, eating disorders. So a registered and licensed dietitian, nutritionist, has followed through and done education and interned and performed their clinicals. So
part of the cool, fun part of doing the podcast is we talk about, I always do my granddaughter Clementine, who's 2, and my dad, who's 92. Poor things, they always get kind of lumped in together. But I think the whole point is, from a food point of view, and a health and wellness point of view, whether you're 2 or 92, I drank the Kool-Aid with you. I guess I should say the clear water.
Yes.
The smart water.
You did.
Kool-Aid, because that would be a bad thing. But anyway, can you talk to us a little bit about basic nutrition from 2 to 92?
Yeah.
And then later in the segment, we'll talk about secret sauce for aging.
Okay.
But let's talk basic first.
So I tend to look at it, it should be very similar for all age groups.
I love this.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So you're learning how to eat right, whether you're a toddler, preschooler, teenager, adult, and senior. So the basic concept is you're following a good, healthy plate, making sure you're following a plant-based diet, getting all those good healthy foods in there, minimally processed, drinking a lot of water. There's some really basic tips to follow. And like I said, I'm a really big fan for what's good for one certain age group is good for everybody. So if we're promoting it for seniors, we want those seniors to encourage it for their children and grandchildren and vice versa. So it really is across the lifespan where you're trying to get people to eat healthy.
And I think what we found is, at least for me, I have a 2-year-old granddaughter and a 92-year-old dad, and we're oftentimes eating together.
Of course.
And so I think that's what has made this whole nutrition part really interesting for many of us.
Oh, definitely. And I think too, it's getting back to the basics.
Okay.
It's getting back to the basics where you're sitting down and eating a meal together and you're using local produce and things you may grow in your garden and, you know, just engaging in that mealtime. We got away from that so much with our busy lifestyles, and it's really a good technique for everybody to follow.
I remember growing up and there would be a plate, and on the plate would be meat goes here.
Sure.
Right?
Vegetables
go here. So what does that look like in today's world?
Of course, it's called My Plate, right?
Oh, is it? Okay.
It is. Uh-huh. It's the My Plate concept. So it's part of our professional association, help release that, the eatright.org.
Okay.
And it's the My Plate. So setting up a nice plate, not a really big plate.
Okay.
Going to a moderate size. You think of how things have increased over the years and portion sizes have increased. Mm-hmm. So a moderate plate, a little bit of protein, which would be a quarter of the plate. Another quarter of your plate would be your carbohydrates or starches.
Which is, such as?
It could be potatoes or rice or maybe some beans, a sweet potato. There's a lot of noodles, a lot of different options.
Good stuff.
Good stuff, yes. And then half of your plate would be your fruits and vegetables. So we're trying to get people to change that concept a little bit. You think about how we learn to set up a plate as a child. I know when I grew up, it was eat your protein, eat your meat.
That's right.
Is on the plate, and then it's all filled up, and you had a little tiny spot.
Right, 2 green beans, a big piece of meat.
Eat your meat, right? So it's changed a little bit. We know we want to fill up our plate with fruits and vegetables. That's the basis. So if you're following a plant-based diet, you would say, fill up your plate with that, a little bit of protein and a little bit of starches. It's really easy.
Here's what I want to do. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we talk about, you and I had the opportunity to tour a grocery store. It was absolutely enlightening. I had the most fun.
We did.
Can we talk a little bit and share with our listeners how you navigate a grocery store? Because it's really interesting. Stay with us. We'll be right back here on Aging in Place. Hi, I'm Dr. Debbie Lines. Design elements are psychologically and physically supportive and conducive to health and wellness. To learn more about what Lines on Design can do for you, for more information on certified aging in place and facilitative and supportive design, look for us at linesondesign.com. That's LYNES on design.com. We are back. We are here with Holly, our licensed and registered dietitian nutritionist. I'm super excited to have you here, Holly.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we were talking a little bit about my plate, and now we're going to talk about my grocery store experience. I have learned so much from going to the store with you. It's a blast, you guys.
You know I love the grocery store.
Oh, it is like going to an excellent movie or play when you go with Holly.
The people I work with always say, you're crazy. You always get so excited to leave work and go to the grocery store. It's just my afternoon activity.
Exactly.
You know, coming home from work, I get excited about what I'm going to make. I like the activity of walking around the grocery store, too. I think it's very social.
It is, yes.
I have a lot of friends at Kroger, which is great. Get to say hi to everybody. Have a lot of friends at Publix and hello to everyone. I think it's wonderful. And it's a great way to get in some exercise.
Well, and what's funny about what you just said is three important things for us as we do get older.
Mm-hmm.
I always worry about isolation.
Right.
So you're saying it can be a very social experience.
Absolutely.
And we're talking about the grocery store.
Yeah.
Number two, sometimes workout doesn't need to be gym.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're saying is just walk around the grocery store.
Of course, you get to hold on to the cart. So you think about it, maintaining your balance, you get to hold on and push your way around the grocery store. It's a great way to exercise.
I
encourage
sit
it
up
for everybody.
Straighter.
I know. Hold on.
it's all good, right? Look at us. We're like, how do we look? We look good. Sorry, you can't see this it's a podcast, right?
Right.
All right. When you go to the grocery store, is there a rhyme and a reason or a method to the madness of the way grocery stores are laid out?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. So the main concept is to shop the perimeter. So you're shopping the outside of the store. So you think of all the fun things on the outside. If I think of coming into Kroger, what's on the outside? You hit some
right.
of the dairy. You keep going around. You get all your fresh meats
yes.
and seafood. Follow it around. You have your fresh baked goods. You hit the beer and wine section, and then all the fresh fruits and vegetables are there too. So you really don't have to worry so much with labels if you're shopping the perimeter. So if you spend most of your time on the outside versus in the aisles, you can do some pretty healthy shopping.
It used to be when we were kids that tomatoes were in season month eight and month
right.
three, or oranges were in season. I know at Fresh Market, I can get watermelon today that tastes exactly like it does
sure.
in the middle of the summer. But do you encourage people to buy seasonal vegetables?
Oh, definitely. And, you know, we use the concept local as much okay. as you can get local. So you think about it, local produce, something that's produced within 100 miles mm-hmm. of that grocery store or processed within 100 miles of that grocery store is local. So you're getting something that probably is much higher in antioxidants and nutrients
okay.
because
uh-huh.
it's getting to the store more quickly. And try to use it more quickly, too. I know a lot of people say, well, I buy my produce for a week or two, but...
Not so much.
No, because mm-hmm. it's losing antioxidants. So you want to make sure you're buying it local and using it more quickly, too.
So when I walk in and I go to the vegetable department, I'll see head lettuce, I'll see romaine lettuce, I'll
uh-huh.
see arugula, I'll see... kale, I'll see all kinds of things.
Yeah.
How do I know, or do I not need to know, can I mix and match?
Right.
What has the most nutrients?
You can mix and match. Here's an easy technique for the grocery
okay.
store. When you look in your cart, so you get your cart, you're walking around, your goal is for 2/3 of your grocery cart to be filled with fresh foods.
2/3 fresh foods.
2/3
okay.
fresh foods.
Okay.
So you look in your cart and you should see the color of a rainbow.
Oh,
that's an easy
this.
One. So you should see all the different colors. And it doesn't mean Skittles and
right.
M&Ms and things like that. But it does mean you see all the colors. So when you're going to the produce section,
mm-hmm.
you need to pick different colors. Maybe some purple grapes. Pick some beautiful red tomatoes. Get some orange carrots.
Exactly. And those little tangelos that are
yeah.
oh, so good. I love
and
that.
And I tell people to try to get outside of their zone because so many times they pick the same thing. I'm getting the same bananas. I'm going to get the same lunch
it's
meat.
It's true. Things.
We are creatures of habit. We're going to eat that same turkey sandwich for 50 years straight.
Yeah.
And we're going to eat that same banana every morning. But mix it up a little bit and see a lot of different colors.
Again, when I went with you, you showed beets to me.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, red beets, they scare me. And you're like, buy white beets.
Yeah. There's some great options. There's so many neat different colors of fruits and vegetables. It's wonderful. You ever see the purple tomatoes?
No.
Yeah, there's purple tomatoes and purple potatoes.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So lots of good antioxidants. The idea is the more colors, the more antioxidants and nutrients that product brings to you.
So going in, let's talk about protein though, because I hear so many diets.
Yeah.
Right. You're like, and you're basically, at least from what I've learned from you, is no, you want a lifestyle way of eating as opposed to an Atkins diet or a keto diet or a Mary Sue diet or whatever it is.
Sure.
Why?
Yeah, so you're teaching overall healthy nutrition. So people get stuck on certain diets and meal plans, and a lot of times it's a good short-term fix for them. And I always say, I don't totally discourage people following them because sometimes it's a good jump start for weight management.
Okay, that's fair.
People are really struggling with it, and they might have their sugar addiction, and they're stuck in the, you know, that same lifestyle, and maybe they're skipping meals all day and saving up and eating at nighttime. Whereas if they're following a specific plan, even in the short term, it helps them to jumpstart that weight loss. And then get yourself into that good, healthy plan where it's plant-based and you can choose good, healthy foods. Some of the diets that are out there, like the keto and the Atkins, we know are generally going to be higher in fat. And the studies do show that it does raise cholesterol levels. I've seen it in person, too, where we're doing screenings.
Okay.
And somebody said, I've been following keto the past few months, and boom, cholesterol's really high. And sometimes it's high enough to say, I really need you to follow up with your physician. You probably need to consider taking a statin. So
talk to me about, when you talk about plant-based, I guess I automatically think raw.
Right.
But not necessarily.
No, definitely not. So the idea is local. Local, fresh produce as much as possible. It's okay to have frozen too. Frozen is good, right? You could blend it up. Some people like some smoothies.
Yes, good idea.
There's juicing. There's a lot of different things. But that should be the main basis for the diet. And a lot of times it is not. We focus on protein. We focus on carbs. We love carbs, especially women.
Why is that?
I don't know. It's just part of our hormonal cravings,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
And we love our carbs, and it's our main source of energy. We know that. Our body needs carbohydrates to convert to glucose. It's our main source of energy, so we can't eliminate it from our diet, but we can't get stuck in the cycle of eating white bread and white rice and cookies and all those good things.
Which is really fun. When Holly and I went to the grocery store, we found some, because I was like, can I have bread? I love bread. You were like, yes. And we looked at some of the labels. And there were some, what were you looking
for? There's great options. So we generally say when you're choosing some type of carbohydrate or a grain, it should have at least 3 grams of fiber per serving.
Okay.
So make sure it's good, whole grain. Look at the ingredient list. And things on a food label are listed in the largest quantity.
First. Okay.
Correct. So say that there was a lot of sugar in the product, that would be the very first ingredient, and then it follows down to the smallest amount in that label. It's pretty easy to see that. So if you see granulated sugar, sweeteners, or
things like that,
you know, white flour as one of the top three ingredients, those are things to eliminate. But whole grains are great and lots of fiber. There's a lot of great options, a lot of fresh bread. Publix has wonderful fresh bread.
They do have fresh bread.
Yeah.
It's good 7-grain or 12-grain
bread.
Oh,
that's my favorite.
Exactly. I like that too. I can't believe we're going to have to take another quick break. What I'd like to do when we come back is to talk a little bit about people with specific needs.
Sure.
And whether that is someone who's 50 and older, or someone who perhaps is not as active, or perhaps someone who may have a diabetes or a disease process, what that can really look like from a nutrition point of view. Stay with us. There's more to come on Aging in Place.
For more podcast episodes, links, information, and media inquiries, please visit our website at agingInPlacePodcast.com as we transition through life with the comfort and ease you deserve. Discover how you can create a home that will adapt to you as you journey through life and the changes it will bring. Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as our host, Debbie Lines, and her expert guests discuss relevant topics to creating a home for all decades in life. Don't miss our weekly episodes of Aging in Place podcast for every stage in life.
Holly and I are back here on Aging in Place podcast for any stage in life. And it was interesting during the break. It is fun how sort of organic things appear, if you will. And one of the things that I'd really like to talk about is the difference in what we need as we age. And again, going back to my 2 and 92-year-old.
Sure.
Clementine, before she was two, was pretty easy to feed.
Right.
Okay. My dad's never really been a picky eater. But here's what I notice now about him. He doesn't have a lot of appetite.
Right.
And so I find that it's much more difficult to find something that is appealing to him. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he can't taste it. I don't really know.
Sure.
And then with Clementine, she's just plain old-fashioned picky now.
Right. Oh, absolutely. So similar behaviors on both ends of the spectrum there.
Yes, very much.
You know, and the goal is just to make sure you're getting some good nutrition. So it might not be a perfect diet. It might not be the perfect plate where half of it is vegetables, a little bit of protein, a little bit of carbohydrate. It might look a little bit different, and that's okay because you think the goal is to make sure they're getting adequate nutrition and calories.
Got it.
Okay. And it may not always be perfect. You might have to have a lot of gravy on your mashed potatoes.
Exactly. Okay.
To make it easier to swallow.
Oh.
You might have to restrict some of those fresh fruits and vegetables because maybe you have diverticulitis or have some GI concerns.
And it's
not the perfect diet for everybody. You know, the big wave of the plant-based diet or like a vegetarian vegan diet may not be for people who are aging because there's some GI concerns, intolerance. Sometimes you can have some reflux concerns too. People don't tolerate that. I don't tolerate tomatoes too well. You know, they say I always have a little bit of reflux with that. And sometimes even simple things like chewing and swallowing foods can be more difficult as you're aging.
Oh, exactly. So my dad said it's harder to chew meat right now.
Right.
I never even thought about that either.
Taste buds diminish.
Okay.
And
they do.
Oh, definitely. So you notice as people age, they tend to go more towards salty foods and sweet foods. So, you know, it's because those taste buds are a little more prominent. So they like that. So if you notice people are salting their foods a little bit more, you think of, you know, we would tend to say, we'll use more pepper. Well, pepper would not be a good option for somebody who's having some reflux and GERD and issues.
Things like that.
Absolutely.
But that brings up another point that I've always wondered. I hear now so many of my friends have a lactose intolerance. They have gluten intolerance.
Sure.
They have this intolerance. What's the difference between an allergy and intolerance? I mean, again, growing up, I grew up with like celiac diseases where you could not process gluten.
Sure.
And now I hear all the time, oh, I can't eat gluten.
Right. There's sensitivities, there's intolerance, there's true food allergies. There's a lot of different things.
Right.
That, you know, for a true food allergy, you would have testing done. So you could do skin testing to diagnose celiac disease. You would do a scope and then also a blood test for that too. So, you know, sometimes people who are already restricting gluten in their diet, they go get tested for celiac disease. Well, the villi of the intestine are already, you know, back up,
right,
not flattened at that point. So it may not show up as an actual diagnosis. But, you know, sometimes people do restrict their own diets. They say, I don't tolerate this that well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to restrict. You just have to make sure you're following a good, healthy plan and not restricting too much. Because we notice sometimes as people are aging, they're saying, well, I'm going to trend over and do this very restricted diet because it's going to help to reverse some of the things I've done.
Got it.
Oh yeah. And I want to stop these medications and I want to stop this. And you know, they're restricting a lot and sometimes to the point where they're becoming too thin and they may be malnourished. They're not getting enough good vitamins and minerals and maybe some iron in their diet too. And absorption is not as good as when you're aging. So, you know, you just have to make sure you're following a good balanced plan that is good for you.
We've been talking a lot about food. What about liquids? What about water? What about juices? What about milk, coffee?
Right.
My personal favorite, wine.
Sure. Mine too.
Yeah, there you go.
So we know that most Americans drink about 25% of their calories.
What?
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? Also, an interesting point too, which I think is very key to bring up. We know that Americans are spending more on coffee drinks than they're spending on going out to eat.
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
I know.
Starbucks. And
oh, definitely.
I can't get by every day without my Starbucks.
So you think of all the calories and some of those. So obviously we focus a lot on drinking water.
Okay.
Drink a lot of water as your main basis there. If you take your body weight, cut it in half, that's the number of ounces that you would need every day.
Say that again. Take my body weight.
So say we'd have a 200-pound person.
Got it.
We cut it in half, and it's 100. So you would need 100 ounces of fluid every single day.
I didn't know that. That's a great way to, okay.
Yeah. it's an easy way to calculate that. So, you know, we want to drink a lot of water, minimize juices. I always have that discussion with a lot of people, and those seniors too. I like my cranberry juice,
exactly.
And I like my prune juice, and I like my apple juice.
And I drank orange juice every single morning for 45 years.
Correct, right. Correct. So small amount. It's pretty much the same recommendations that we use for children, toddlers, you know, 4 ounces. A small juice glass, not a juice glass that is 10 inches high, you know, go old school and choose the little tiny 4 ounce juice glass. One of those. And the concept is small amount of juice because you're not getting all the fiber in it. So if you're eating the whole fruit and the whole vegetable, you're getting the good fiber inside and outside the fruit versus the fruit juice where you're not getting that. You're just getting the carbohydrates.
Oh, see, that makes some, I was trying to figure out what the difference was. Yeah.
You're just getting the carbs, but you're not getting the fiber. So you think about it, controlling blood sugars, you're drinking your juice. Mm-hmm. As you're aging, most people do have glucose intolerance. So, you know, you might notice more of a spike in your blood sugar versus having a piece of fresh fruit or whole fruit. You can control your blood sugars more. So same concepts for small children and aging adults too, just a small amount of juice.
What's the thought about milk these days? I mean, growing up, it was every kid drank.
Of course.
Glasses,
we would get milk delivered to the house.
Absolutely.
Remember that?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was fun.
So now
there's so many different types of milk. There's
almonds,
oat milk and almond milk and all different types of milk, and really find one that you like. We know that milk does provide a good amount of calcium.
Okay.
And it's a good source of protein too. So, you know, studies show too, drinking chocolate milk after exercise is a good way to replete and get your energy and carbohydrates and all those good things you need. So that's a little tip for active seniors. And, you know, you go running or go exercise and you have a little glass of chocolate milk and you're getting all those good nutrients.
Plus, it tastes good too.
It does. It does.
What about eggs? That's another one that I want to.
Yeah. So eggs are fine. You know, Heart Association is going to say 3 eggs per week.
Okay.
They know if you're choosing an egg that is fed grain with omega-3s, that it's producing in a higher omega-3 egg. And you can have up to 6 of those per week. So eggs are fine. Absolutely.
So I think it's only fitting that our last minute be dedicated to alcohol. And
it's 5 o'clock somewhere, right?
Exactly. Yeah. What are the rules of the road from a dietitian point of view?
So we follow the Heart Association guidelines for that. So we say for women, 1 drink per day.
Okay.
And that's 5 ounces of wine.
Is that 5 ounces?
A 12-ounce beer and a shot, which is 1.5 ounces of hard alcohol. And then men get 2. So we get gypped. We only get 1 and men get 2 per day.
It's so interesting. Okay. Shameless time for shameless self-promotions, what I'm trying to get at.
Sure.
Talk to us if we would like to contact you, maybe a little bit about even the website for the hospital.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. So HiltonHeadRegional.com. We do have a Facebook page too, Hilton Head Regional. Check out information. We're doing a lot of good nutrition information and little grocery tours and segments on healthy eating and wellness. So check us out.
I tell you what, I really appreciate you coming. It's been fun. And I, as always, I think I learn more than anyone on these. Holly, it's been delightful. We want to thank all of you for listening to Aging in Place podcast for any stage in life. Hi, I'm Dr. Debbie Lines, and thank you for listening to Aging in Place for any stage in life. We would like to ask you all to give us a review. Of course, preferably 5 stars. Thank you again, and we hope you enjoyed Aging in Place for any stage in life.
Don't run with scissors. We were all raised with those kindergarten rules. Be kind to others, don't eat the paste, and don't run with scissors. Well, I'm a crafter. I have to admit that some of my who knew tips talked about downsizing our belongings, but my scissor collection is off limits. I have scissors for everything, but the strange thing about owning at least 40 pairs of them is that they are usually not where I need them. Well, at least I used to have to look for them. Since I craft, I was always looking for my scissors when it came to wrapping grits, so I took a ribbon and tied it to my paper holder. I took another pair and hung it in my closet so I could remove the tags off my new clothes. Another pair in my end table so I can clip things out of magazines. There's a pair in the bathroom tied to the plumbing under the vanity so I can cut the wrappers off the bottles. I even have a pair in the refrigerator to cut herbs and even my chili peppers. You can even cut bread and pasta with a pair of scissors too. Wherever you find yourself looking for a pair of scissors, make sure you leave a pair there for the next time. Don't run or walk around with your scissors, especially if your mobility is questionable. Having scissors where you need them can cut your time in half. Who knew?
Holly Majinski, you are an incredible interview, and every time I am with you, I learn something. Here's my takeaway for today's podcast. It's all about the periphery of the grocery store. That is where all of the healthy items are stored. Shop local and shop the sides. Thank you all for joining us here on Aging in Place podcast for any stage in life.
Aging in Place podcast is hosted by Debbie Lyons and produced by Henrik de Gior. If you have any comments or questions, send an email to debbie@agingInPlacePodcast.com. We would love to hear from you. If you're interested in advertising or sponsoring this podcast, email us at pr@agingInPlacePodcast.com. Thank you for listening to Aging in Place Podcast.